your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Welcome everyone to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm sitting here with an amazing man, Mr. Peter Townend. Peter Townend is the founder and chairman of the board at www.liftbrands.com and is widely regarded as a pioneer in the fitness industry. Peter, I'm really excited to have you on the show today. It's going to be, I'm sure there's going to be so many tremendous insights through the visionary mind that you have and all the implementation that you've created over the past, you know, couple decades or so. And for those of you that don't know who Peter is, in 2003, Peter had a vision for Snap Fitness to create an affordable 24/7 results-driven gym differentiated from the impersonal big box expensive gyms that were out there. Today, there are Snap Fitness franchises in 2,500 locations in 26 different countries around the world. And Townend didn't even stop there. Peter's an expert at understanding consumer desires and really fulfilling them. In recent years, he has acquired and founded several brands to round out the consumer fitness experience. Nine Round, Pharrell, Steel Fitness, Fitness On Demand, and YogaFit. Together with Snap Fitness, they make up one of the world's largest wellness franchises organizations with over 6,000 locations worldwide across multiple brands serving 165 million workouts and counting. Peter is known for leading with his infectious enthusiasm, which attracts prospective owners from around the globe. He loves to mentor and teach and leans heavily on his own management philosophy, which I love, by the way, Peter. Success is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. Peter's accomplishments have been well recognized by the business community. He is a past Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year, and his companies have regularly made such lists such as Entrepreneur 500, Inc. 5000, Top Global, and Franchise 500. But most importantly, it comes down to this. For Peter, it comes down to one word, passion. And he has it, teaches it, and the results speak for themselves. Welcome to the show, my brother. It's so nice to finally connect with you, my friend.
Hey, my pleasure, Eric. What a gracious introduction. So thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Absolutely, man. It's absolutely my pleasure. And, you know, we just before we hit record, we were talking a little bit about, you know, our experiences and kind of where we're at and just to kind of, you know, get to know each other a little bit briefly. But more importantly, I think it's really amazing to connect with somebody that has had such a tremendous, you know, resilience through the up and downs of, you know, the marketplace, through a couple of past decades, and still being able to have, you know, main offices in Australia, around the world, in 26 different countries to continue thriving and going on strong. So what I always love to share with, you know, the community, the Resilient Minds, anyone that's listening on the show, is how our X factor, which I like to call our experiences, contribute to the why that we put out into the world. So I would love to share, I'd love to see if you could share a little bit of these, you know, few decades that you've been in business grinding and how that's been attributed to what you really do move forward with your passion. Because you share what I shared there earlier about the success comes from 10% of what happens to you and 90% of the way you react to it. I absolutely love that and I appreciate that. So with that resiliency of that 90% that you continue to persevere, how did that contribute to your passion today?
Well, one of the words that I really that I enjoy that you just used was resilience. Okay, and resilience and perseverance, they go hand in hand, right? And I've had an unbelievable run in the wellness space. I've been in the health and wellness space for 30 years, believe it or not. I mean, my gosh. Wow. And what a blessing to be able to be in such a in a field that has such great positive energy. So it's a field that I feel completely blessed that I've been able to experience it. But over the 30 years, you know, that resilience and perseverance, it comes through overcoming adversity. And I say this all the time to people, hey, look, the ride to success, it's never a straight line. It ebbs and flows. And I will tell you that, in my opinion, and honestly, any of the people that I communicate with that have experienced some level of financial success, every one of us will tell you that the biggest time of growth, both personally and financially, has been through times of adversity. So how do you react in times of adversity? And because that's where all the life lessons take place, whether it's in your business or your personal life. So some people, they say, man, they get so afraid to fail. And I always say, if you're not failing, you're not trying hard enough. Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. But you know what? Embrace it, understand it, and make sure that you pivot accordingly. So success over a long duration of time, it comes through really having acute attention to detail on exactly what's going on around you. And then making sure that whatever it is that you're doing is relevant within the marketplace. So if you have a consumer-based product, you better make sure that you're relevant with the consumer. And how do you know if you're relevant or not? Look at your sales, because the customer never lies. If the customer leaves, they left for a reason. You need to understand why, and you need to pivot accordingly so you always stay out in front of them.
I love it. You said something, I literally just wrote it down. Sales equals relevance, like 100%. Literally.
And you know what, Eric, it's important. It's important that sometimes when you get in sales, I was just on a call this morning with a group of people out of Texas. And I said, look, it's very easy for companies to sit in a room with the different VPs, and you sit around and you kind of smoke your own exhaust a little bit. You try to define who you are, what you are. And I always say, look, if you're in a consumer facing space, whatever that looks like, get outside your front doors and start talking to people and ask them what makes us great. Because they'll tell you, why are you shopping here versus the other choices that are out there? Why are you going online here? Tell me, why are you buying our franchise and not someone else's? I want to know, in your words, what makes us great? What was it that I said that separated me from the pack? Because I tell you what, true success, you don't want to float around in the middle of the pack. You don't want to run with the herd. You want to thin yourself from the herd. You want to say, look, I'm out here, I'm on my own, and make no mistake about it, I'm comfortable here. All right? Yeah. You got to man up. In business, you got to man up, right? And so I'm a big fan of it. You know, I'm a bit of a cowboy at heart, but I always say, man, put me out there by myself, and I'll show you how fucking great I am.
I love it, man. And that is, you know, being out and separating yourself from the pack, and how I think that's something that's going to resonate with me now that you've said it, like really just continuing to persevere, be resilient. And, you know, as I listen to you, that you've really been wildly successful over persevering for the past 30 years, giving yourself, was there like a defining moment, Peter, that you really said to yourself, no more, no way, no how, that I am going to, what was it that was that defining moment that was like, I am all in, I don't care how much I fail, I'm going to continue moving forward, and there's nothing that no one can say, do, or make me feel that is going to take my mind off what's next?
You know what, it happened early on for me, and you know, as we sit around as entrepreneurs, right? I mean, just envision yourself, you're sitting at home and you're thinking, man, I am so sick and tired of working for the man. I'm so sick of my 9-to-5 gig. I feel like I'm not getting ahead. You know, my whole livelihood rests on the shoulders of my employer. I want to be my own boss and see what that feels like. I want to control my own financial destiny. So when you get to that mindset and you're sitting at home, and you're thinking, what is my business plan? What do I want to do? And I remember for me, it was an opportunity to turn around a failing health club. And I made some changes within that business. The defining moment for me was when I started implementing changes that I could see a shift in momentum. Momentum being the cash register, okay? Because when you're in a business that's losing money and you can see that what you're doing is working, that the dogs are eating the dog food, and you're starting to see that momentum moving up and to the right, that is when I was all in. That is when I said to myself, look, I'm gonna double down, because if I keep doing what I'm doing and if I just keep pushing hard, I don't know how far this is gonna move up and to the right, but so you wanna take a great perspective. Imagine me doing just that, sitting there, implementing some changes in a business that was failing. Now that was 30 years ago, all right? Take that to today, where I built one of the largest wellness brands in the world worth north of $200 million, okay? Wow. So that sitting at home on that kitchen table, charting out your plan, where can it take you? Now, had you asked me 30 years ago, hey, Pedro, this is what you're gonna do, I would have said you're out of your mind, right? Yeah. I would have said you're crazy. But I also would have told you, hey, look, I hope what you're saying is the truth. I hope that I'm able to experience that level of success. I think I'm capable of it. I don't know how I'm gonna do it today, but believe me, I'm gonna spit in my palms and I'm gonna get up every day with fire in my belly and I'm gonna run it down like a rabid dog, right? You're either gonna be a lion or you're gonna be a sheep, right? Be the lion, own it.
You mentioned about controlling the financial destiny. And, you know, as a starting entrepreneur, sometimes people feel like it's more of an investing into their dream is somewhat like an expense versus an investment. What can you advise or give some sort of advice to anybody that looks like when they're, maybe they're starting out, or maybe they're growing and they're reaching new financial heights in their business, where, you know, they're going from 1 million to 3 or 3 to 5 or 5 to 10, but they need to take that next step. Yeah. Or again, maybe they're just starting out and it's the idea. What is it that needs to really change to get to those big steps? Like 1 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 20. Because I know that, like I said, I just want to emphasize, I know that you are all about what happens to you and how you deal with that. So I just want to see, I'm curious to know, because I think that it's a really different mindset than I really even understand, because I don't know what I don't know.
Here's a huge mistake that people make, and I see it. I'm shocked at how often I see it, and I do a lot of mentoring and consulting, but the mentoring piece is what I find really, really interesting. Here's a big mistake that people make. They start a company, they have an idea, and they're starting to get some momentum. And through the process of momentum, and when I'm talking about momentum, I'm talking about financial momentum, meaning the business is starting to cash flow, they're making more and more money. Now there comes a point in that time as an entrepreneur where you look back and you look at it and you say, you know what, I'm gonna increase my salary, I'm gonna upgrade my house, I'm gonna upgrade my cars, I'm gonna upgrade the vacations I take, all right? Because this is all part of that financial success, financial freedom. Because with money, trust me, the more money you have, the more choices you get to make, okay? Don't let anybody, you know, people say, oh, money can't buy you happiness. Look, you know what? It may not be able to buy you happiness, but believe me, you're gonna have a hell of a lot more choices with money. Trust me on that one. But here's a mistake that people make. They start pulling chips off the table during the growth of their company. What happens is the unforeseen comes along, so, and they get blindsided. They get blindsided, so now they pulled money out of their company. They don't have enough cash reserves, or they got to a place where they needed to pivot within their business and they don't have the financial resources to make that pivot. So a big calculated error is they're too eager to start pulling money out of the company. And they do that because in today's society, everyone wants to be flashy. Everyone wants to be driving that car, you know, that pimped out automobile and you know, and upgrading everything. Look, you got to have patience early on. It's so critical that you have patience with your checkbook and you have fiscal and financial accountability to yourself so that you can continue to grow. there's no better investment you can make than investing back into your company, especially when you know that you're on point. And a lot of people, they're too quick to pull cash off the table. It's a huge mistake, and it's hard to recover from sometimes, because mentally in their mind, they're accustomed to a certain mindset, and they feel like when they have to slow that down that they're failing, and they're not. Believe me, invest in yourself, double down, and then one day you'll wake up and that $2 million business you have is now worth 20.
Yeah, I love it. And do you share, what is your insight and your thought process around investing into your development and your mindset, or the growth of not just the business, because people, I think there's a combination. You can invest into people to really help scale and leverage your time. And I think that also the leadership part of you needs to develop as in regards to your success as the entrepreneur, as the leader, as the consciousness that you bring to the table to lead the team. What would you share?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Eric. You know what? Success is a team sport. Make no mistake about it. All right. It's a team sport, and you have to invest in human capital. That's an absolute must. And that comes at a price. So, you know, as I'm growing my company, there are a number of things that I look at. Number one, within the divisions of my company, and I'll give you a perfect example. When I started the first company I started was Snap Fitness. And I started that as a franchise concept 15 years ago. And the first few employees that I hired, they had to multitask. And that's very important when you're hiring people, especially the early employees. They have to be people that can do three or four things, because you don't have the financial resources to hire one person for every job. So you have people that are kind of firefighters that they can jump in and help along the way as you're trying to grow this company. That's very, very important. As the company starts to get momentum, then you can take people and start putting them in their lane. And I'll give you a perfect example of it. The second year into my company, I was opening about 2 to 3 clubs a month. So I was opening one brand new health club a week, what was opening up, all right? So I put people in place. 3 years later, I was opening a club every day. So think about that. In 3 years' time, I went from opening one club a week to opening one club every day, every single day. What's important?
3 years.
In 3 years. Now, here's what's important. The punchline is, if you had walked in my office, there's not people running around with their hair on fire. All right. Everyone stayed in their lane, and that is critical. In order to optimize efficiency within your company, you got to make damn sure that the people stay in their lane, because it's a big game going on out there in the field. And if I'm looking around trying to do everyone else's job, I'm not doing my own. So really, keeping people focused in their lane, and then make sure everyone shares in the vision so they know where you're headed. Very important.
You shared staying in their lane. How hard was it for you to let go of the control as a leader? Because you know, this is your baby, you've evolved it, you've grown it, you know, and when was that first time that you were like, holy cow, I have to let go. I have to I can't be this operator anymore. I have to turn into this owner leader, you know, and passing the book.
Yeah, it came to me, you know, fairly quickly. Within the third year of the company, I knew that I could, when I started the company, believe it or not, I was helping hang TVs on the wall. I was helping with the carpet, lay the cabinets. I mean, I was in every store. I put myself above no job. I said, look, I want to be in the trenches with the team, building out the clubs and making sure that I gave the club a final walkthrough before my first membership was sold. I was that detailed. I was that engaged in the formation of my company, because I knew if I wasn't going to own every square inch of that facility, no one else was going to. So for me, I dug in deep in those areas. Now, eventually I was growing at such a pace, I knew that was not sustainable. And I knew that I had a tiger by the tail. I knew that I had the ability to open hundreds of clubs every year if I hired the right human capital. So I always looked at myself as I'm a head coach. What's my job as the head coach? My job as the head coach is to make sure that we hire the right talent and we mentor, okay? That we have the right leadership within the divisions. And leadership is a great word. And I tell you what, you can't, some people think, oh, it's only my department head who's a leader, or it's only my CEO is the leader. I just talked about this the other day in a podcast. And here's the reality. Anyone can be a leader. When you wake up in the morning and you're genuinely concerned for your coworkers to your left and your right, and you're going to help everyone within an arm's length level up to make them better and make them stronger. When you do that, when you have that mindset, you're a leader in your own right, because some people will just stay in their lane and just do their status quo 9 to 5 and don't say much about anything. But if you're willing to jump in and help others do their job and get better at what they're doing, then you're a leader. Myself as a head coach, my job was to make sure that every one of my department heads understood objectively, what are we trying to accomplish today, this week, next month? So we had goals, and we would talk about that all the time. And I tell you what, when you're leading people, when you're a head coach and you get people that'll go to battle for you, that is when amazing things happen. And I can tell you a story. I remember when I would sit in my boardroom with my different department heads, and they would hate it because they were all like my kids. We were all on the same team, and they hated when I was disappointed in them, okay? And they would really, when I would say, look, hey, everyone, well, I'd listen to everybody, and my assertion was, we're just not that good. We're not as good as we think we are. We're just average. And then I would stand up and I would grab my coffee cup. I said, look, I'm gonna go grab a cup of coffee. Well, I tell you what, when I would leave that room and you've got 10 or 12 department heads there, their freaking fur would fly, because they hold each other accountable, right? Because they'd never like the idea of me looking at them as if they're underachievers, because every one of them, I knew every one of them had the heart of a lion. And when I would get back in this office, I'd sit out there 10 minutes, I'd sip my coffee, I'd let the fur freaking fly in there, right? And when I came back, believe me, everybody was ready to go to work, right? And I would just love that about the people that I hired. I had so many great people with such ambition that they would get up and just fight their asses to the bone. And the beautiful part is they knew that I would sit right in the trenches with them and fight that fight. I would lead the charge. If we were going to take the hill, I would be the first. I would be the point of the spear taking the hill. And they knew that about me, and they loved it.
Wow. And really, it comes down for us to become leaders that create more leaders. And that's essentially what you did as you continued to build your company, right?
Yeah, you can't be 10 places at once, right? So you got to create people. You got to invest in human capital, and you got to make sure that you spend the time to mentor them. And you know what? When people make mistakes, and they will, you can't say, look, you're fired. You do that again, you're fired. Those words have never come out of my mouth, okay? What a horrible thing to say to someone, all right? Instead, you say, look, what did we learn today? Okay, what did we learn? And then say, look, and for me, I would never do that in front of people. If I'm addressing my team, I would say, look, guys, we screwed up here. What did we learn? Okay, but if it was isolated to one or two people, I would, after the meeting was done, I would ask those one or two people to stay, and I would pull them aside and say, hey, look, you know what? This really, let's be honest, it falls on your watch. What did we learn? So let's make sure that we watch for that so we don't repeat it. And that's how you mentor people. That's how you make people freaking great.
Yeah, I love it.
Nobody likes to walk around thinking that every time they screw up, they're going to get sacked. Right? That's no way to get people to go to really take the hill for you and to fight for you. You're never going to get people to go above and beyond if every time they feel they make a mistake that they're at jeopardy of getting fired. That's just poor leadership.
Sure, 100%. And you know, as you continue to evolve from, you know, one stage to the next, describe the process that you had in, you know, building your business from, you know, where it was when it started to really starting to feel that not the incremental growth, because that was like you coming in, but the exponential growth. Describe that process and how that felt, how that looked like, and how somebody needs to continuously and never endingly improve to get to that level so they can see that in their own business or lifestyle.
I learned it early on when I started Snap Fitness. I learned early on that if I didn't own it, I couldn't control it. And I'll give you a perfect example of it. There was we used a company. It was Honeywell at the time. Honeywell, huge billion-dollar company, used to provide our door access system for our clubs. All right. But I realized that a company that size of Honeywell, that I was, there was no sense of urgency with me. If I had a door system that was down, I would call Honeywell support and they'd say, look, we'll get a technician out in 2 days. Well, that just doesn't work, right? So for me, I realized that if I'm going to have any level of control, I have to own it. So what do? I created a division called Superior Security Systems. And that division within my company manages my entire door system across 6,000 locations in 28 countries. All right. Because believe me, when my door system is not working, when my doors don't fire, people are not getting into exercise. That's a bad day in the office. Right. So that's one of the things that I had to keep my hand on the pulse. Same thing with real estate, same thing with legal. I knew that if I was going to be efficient, growing at the pace that I was, I needed to own every one of those divisions so I could hold people accountable.
Really, it fundamentally comes down to training them up. And what I'm hearing you say is training them up so that you can then therefore hold them accountable. And this way you're able to transition and create that leverage where you were looking at them and saying, listen, this is what was expected of you. These were the expectations we set out. And I'm holding you to that outstanding standard because I taught you those processes.
Yeah. And forecasting, you know what, with the divisions within the company that we had and outside, that would not so much of the divisions, but with the vendors that we had, it was very important that we forecasted properly, because I would let our vendors know, look, we are only as good as our weakest vendor. So if we're not over communicating with them, then they're not going to be prepared. But so I've always said, look, if I want to hold people accountable, whether it be people within my company or the vendors that I have, I better be willing to share with them. Here's how many stores we have in the queue that are planning to open here in the next 30 days. I would talk to my equipment providers to say, look, we've got to have equipment package B show up in Brisbane, Australia by such and such a time. I mean, I had to be very transparent in what was going on within my universe to hold people accountable. Because from our perspective, if we're expecting equipment to be delivered and it doesn't show up, then you're looking at a gym with just carpet and mirrors and no equipment, right? That doesn't work in anyone's world. So, you know, holding people accountable, you can't hold people accountable if you're withholding information. So I'm a big advocate of over communicate, and with that over communication comes accountability. And then you got to be willing to hold people accountable. You know, some people will say that about me, and look, I own it. They'll say, hey, look, Peter, he's tough, but he's fair. I am tough. Hey, look, I'm tough. Guilty as charged. Why? Because when I tell you, if I give you enough notice of when a club is going to be open and you fail to deliver and you didn't communicate with me in a timely manner, so I get blindsided when you call me 3 days in advance telling me the equipment's not going to be there and I've got a $15,000 ad spend that's due to hit, right? I mean, look, that's just bad, God, bad. So I hold people accountable. It's not that I dislike them as a person, but believe me, if you screw up on the job and you're one of my vendors, in other words, I'm paying you to do your job and you fail to do it and you fail to communicate with me, I'm going to take issue with that. And I tell you what, every leader, I always looked at it this way. When I have to raise my voice to a vendor, I'm doing it on behalf of my franchisees. I'm their advocate. I'm the guy that says, hey, look, that's bullshit, what you just did. You're not going to have the equipment there on time. In fact, it's not even going to be there on the day it's supposed to. It's going to be there a week later. I would tell them, now, what are you going to do for my franchisee? Throw in a treadmill, right? I mean, I was tough as nails with these guys. I'd say, give them a treadmill. And they'd say, Peter, a treadmill, that's $4,000. I mean, come on, let's be reasonable. I go, hey, look, this is your lesson. This is your lesson. This is your freaking timeout. So throw a treadmill in there for that person and you know, and give them a written apology. And believe me, they get a few of those free treadmills going out the door. They get on their game in a hurry, right?
I love it. Yes.
I didn't play around with them.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This is a powerful, like, you know, value that you have. I see it's like, you know, having the integrity and the strength to really show up, you know, as the leader that you have. So as you continue to, you know, build, you know, your brand and build your business and you continue to do it, how did these values were created and how did they show up in your work so that you passed off to your franchisees?
Well, I mean, today the mindset that I have and some of my lessons learned, I learned early on. When I was 8 years old, I used to pop popcorn in front of my father's grocery store at 8 years old. I mean, believe me, at 8 years old, you barely know your name, right? And I'm selling popcorn in front of my dad's grocery store, but I had a front row seat to watching my father go to work every day. And I would see a guy who owned this small grocery store, and I would see him at the checkout stand. I would see him carrying out groceries. I would see him stocking the shelves. I would see him shoveling the sidewalk. He put himself above nothing. And when you have that level of humility with your employees, I tell you what, they will walk on fire for you. And I think good leadership starts right there. Don't be a dictator. You know what? Let your employees know that you're going to go and you're going to advocate and you're going to fight for them. And that those same fundamental principles that I learned at 8 years old are applicable today. All right. They're applicable today. And those are just great qualities to have as a human being. As a human being, you have a man of character. You're a man of your word. Right. And you know, we talk about character and showing up and how do you want to live? I talk about that stuff every day. How do you want to show up in life? Right. And it's not about, you know, all the stuff that you're able to accumulate over time. And this is another important lesson. Hey, look, have I had an unbelievable life and do I continue to have an unbelievable life? Well, of course. I mean, I grew up in a two-room schoolhouse for crying out loud. I quit college my junior year. How does that guy go from that setting to penthouse in Miami, yachts, private jets, $10 million lake home I'm sitting in right now? Look, you can get lost. This is a great lesson. You can get lost in all that bullshit. I promise you, you can. If you let yourself, you can get lost. You can start drinking your own Kool-Aid, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how successful you are. You know what? Never be afraid to drink out of a styrofoam coffee cup. All right? Yeah. Don't think you're so fucking cool that you're above everyone else. So you know what? For me, when I hop out of my Ferrari, I'm the guy in the faded blue jeans and t-shirt. Okay? I could care less. Because that doesn't define who I am. Those are simply the financial rewards of unbelievable success. But it does not define me. So for all of you listeners out there who aspire to be wealthy someday, don't lose yourself in the process.
I'm writing it down. What kind of a Ferrari do you have?
I have the 488.
Red?
You'd love it, brother. Yeah, I have a 488. Yeah, I have that. I'm a car guy, right? I have a 488. Oh, I like it. I have a 488. And you know, another car that I love, I have an Aston Martin Vantage, right? It's in Batmobile. It's like the black Batmobile. That's a pretty cool ride too. You know, thing just, both of them just rip. It's, as a car guy, you can appreciate that.
100%. So like the 488 for me is like my dream car, right? It's been I visualize it all the time. So it's
I hope it happens for you, brother.
I can
see
happening. You. Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. 100%. I'm super pumped to ask you, because you know you're really successful in your business, and we kind of talked about here. How has that has it affected you? Because you know we discussed that. You know, I just broke up with my girlfriend and I didn't work out. I moved back from Australia to Canada, and it seems like business has always been the forefront of my experience. And maybe that's like I need to nail in the relationship with myself a little bit more first, you know, to really before I can, you know, get be whole myself before I can continue to look for a relationship. But like in the same time, you know, you've been, you know, dubbed as Playboy, you know, perhaps, quote unquote. Focusing specifically on like how has that the success in your business really contributed to either a good relationship or a different relationship, or how have those relationships affected you? What do you feel is been something that continues to, is it something that you like, you would like to have a relationship, or are you seeking one, or things like this? Like I'm just curious more than anything.
That's a great question. I'm definitely seeking a relationship. So I've been divorced for 5 years and I have a great relationship with my ex-wife, so I don't have any drama. But for me, as I look to, and it's funny, in today's day and age, you have kind of two groups of people. Some of my male friends, they say, Peter, my God, you have more money you can spend. You know, why aren't you just being the serial dater, dating all these hot women? You know, so that's one life. And then the other side of it is for me, where I happen to where the area that I happen to reside is, I'm at a place in my life that I want to travel. I love traveling. I love meeting people. So I want to be able to have someone that I can share my life with. And, you know, I don't want to be a serial dater. I'm looking for that monogamous relationship. And it's really hard. And people say, you know, these are high class problems. Look, here's the reality. With today, with social media, there's no place to hide. Okay, yeah. So for me, as I'm looking for, you know, the woman of my dreams, and I've got a picture of her in my mind of exactly what I'm looking for, and I'm patient, but I want someone to see my heart before they see my wallet, if that makes any sense. And that's very difficult. And you know, a lot of people they're really smart. They'll come up and you know they'll play their themselves one way, but then over a very short period of time, you realize that really what they're looking for is more of an allowance and a lifestyle and all that stuff. And you know what? All those things can come as a relationship matures. But you got relationships, you kind of have to crawl, walk, run. So, you know, I'm a little bit guarded. I'm guarded, you know, for the women and also on the male side, men or people in general tend to come up and they'll want to talk to you with a genuine curiosity, but then 10 minutes into the conversation comes the real punchline is they have an investment opportunity they'd like you to look at, right? Happens all the time, weekly, right? They come in and they say, hey, I saw you doing this, and you're starting to talk about, you know, maybe you're doing some fishing or you're out in your boat, and you're thinking it's a genuine conversation, kind of off topic of what I do every day, which is business. So you're thinking this is kind of cool and I'm engaged. And then over the top, they come at you with, hey, would you mind looking at my cousin's business? You know, he's looking to raise capital. So you, through success, and look, you know what? It's no big deal. I'm fine. And it comes with the turf, but it gets a little bit disheartening, you know, along the way. So, yeah. You know, for me, you know, looking for the right woman, I keep my eyes out all the time. You know, I'm just, this is one for all your listeners. I'm kind of drawn to that olive skin, dark hair.
I love it. Yeah. Go find Peter. Go find Peter.
Yeah. I'll be right. You go find me that olive skin, dark hair, you know, in shape, you know, kind of not a bodybuilder shape, but more of a yoga body shape. Right. That's, you know, that's kind of what I look for. That's what I tend to be drawn to. And anyway, hopefully, God willing, it happens.
You will. You're a good-looking man. You know, you got great heart, and I think that that's the fundamental thing, is that we need to focus on. I think too, as men, you know, masculine men that want to go out there and create more, do more, become more, help more of the world. I think it's important for us to really find somebody that wants to be our queen.
Right.
And I think that, you know, for myself, you know, I had an amazing relationship with an amazing woman. And, you know, I was so hell-bent on just building the business, and I kind of forgot the presence of her. I didn't pay attention to the moments.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's completely on me, right? And understanding that we get to, I think, as men, make the choice. And my goal now is to recognize how we can actually raise that awareness to other men that want to do big things or succeed in life and do these great things. And in addition, be in the present moment, because I think that's pretty cool. Yeah. It's like when you could live that way and then appreciate the amazing beauty that's in front of you, that loves you and adores you and wants to be there for you with while you're creating such amazing legacy.
And I think you're exactly right, and that's you're right on point there. That, you know, there's nothing better than a beautiful relationship, and relationships are work, right? They take work, and they take holding each other accountable, and that's great. I look forward to the day of meeting someone, and we hold each other accountable to what our personal needs are, right? Because you get up every day and you're fighting dragons all day long. That's fine. That's understandable. Well, but when I come home to my queen, it's just her and I, right? And how are we going to spend our lives together? How are we going to grow together? How are we going to make our own memories together? And it's not always going to be easy. And you know what? Being vulnerable and being sincere, it matters. And sometimes it's hard to do when you're trying to build a company, because you're so focused on building the company, protecting and providing for your family, that when you can check that box, now really life gets pretty simple. You know, you're doing mentoring, you're doing consulting, but now your focus is, how do I want to show up for the rest of my life, and who do I want at my side, right? That can experience those things. Who, she's humble, she's kind, she's beautiful, and she's authentic. That's a tough build to order right there.
Absolutely. And then the unconditional part of it, right? Where it's like the unconditional love, that it's there without any conditions, that no matter what happens, whether, you know, you have $100 million or you have, you know, $100, she's there. You know, it's the unconditional at all. Like it matters, and, you know, not, you know, measuring. And I think that there's so much value in that. And I think that that's where I know that sometimes we miss the boat. I did as I was growing, right?
Sure. And you know what? There's a lot that is, it's so true. Man, there's nothing more trying. I mean, I think everyone, we all have a little crazy in us, whether we want to agree or accept it or not. We all have a little crazy in us. But if you're having those crazy moments where you're being just irrational or you're crabby or whatever, you're stressed out and you're crabby. So, you know, who do you lash out at? The person closest to you, because they're right there and it's easy, right? But you got to be able to grab her by the shoulders and say, hey, baby, I am so sorry. You know, that's not me. I'm having a shit day, whatever it is, right? And she's got to say, it's okay, I understand. She can't be, I'm out of here, I'm grabbing my suitcase. You know what I mean? It's because you have those moments, you're going to have them, she's going to do it to you, and vice versa. That's what happens in relationships. But at the end of the day, it can never be, I'm out of here. You know, unless of course you're physical with each other and just being completely abusive. Yeah. That's a whole different circumstance. But you know what? Just assuming normal relationships, everybody has their stuff, and you just got to be willing to lock arms and say, look, we're going to get through this together, babe. And it's going to be a great ride.
Yeah, so beautiful, bro. So beautiful. Peter, you're a good man. You're a good man. I feel real connected to you. You've given us such a great path to success. You know, what would you share would be one reason why people fail?
Why they fail? Why they fail? I tell you what, I mean, it's hard to sum it up into one reason. You know, they underestimate the potential within themselves, number one. Two, they're afraid to fail. because they think failure is lasting and it's not, okay? Understand failure is a good thing and that's where all the growth takes place. Just learn from it and learn fast, right? So I think most people fail because they're afraid to fail. And fear resides between the 6 inches between your ears. I mean, there's nothing. Fear is just an emotion that you have, all right? There's no basis to it. So you just gotta say, hey, look, screw you, fear. And you gotta man up and fight your way through it. And once you overcome that a few times, pretty soon you look at fear and you're like, meh, right? No big deal, right? That's how I roll, so right? It's so true, right?
So true. Peter, I want to be conscious of your time. I also would love to know if anybody wants to connect with you or know more about how they can get in touch with you, or if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they reach out to you? How can they reach out to find out more?
Yeah, please do. So I make it really easy. It's do it through Instagram, which is Peter_Taunton, TAUNTON. Just message me and message that you watched this on Facebook, or you'll see the podcast, but mention it so I can make the connection. And I'd love to hear from you. And you know, if you have any questions for me, I answer them directly. So really, that's something I do. I've got a little over 500,000 followers. I answer every message, right? And they may be short and to the point. And sometimes I'll say, look, it's too long of an answer to text out, but I'll say, give me your number and I'll call you and we'll have a quick conversation. So, you know, that's my way of giving back to people. And I call people all over the world all week long. That's part of what I do. And I really, truly enjoy it.
Amazing, my friend. And literally, you know, you guys reach out to Peter, make sure you check him out on Instagram. This guy's a genius and a gem. And Peter, I just want to say thank you. Last question I want to ask you. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
3 days left? Boy, I tell you what, I would spend it giving thanks to the people that were really meaningful in my life. I would literally, I keep a list on my phone of, and it's called People Who Matter, okay? And some of them don't even know the influence that they had within my life, right? It's really more for me when I'm reflecting on how in the hell did I get to where I am today? Because it's a surreal experience. I don't go to bed at night without giving thanks. And when I wake up in the morning, I give thanks, and I give thanks multiple times throughout the day. You know, I'm a Christian, and God knows that I am his project. I am flawed 7 ways from Sunday, right? But you know, I believe in doing good. And so for me, I would make a point to personally get in touch with every one of these people and let them know that what they did when they went out of their way that day, that mattered to me. And I, you know, that's what I would do.
I'm starting a list, people that matter. I love it. I think that that's a profound thing to really bring you back to the presence and seeing that and really creating that awareness within yourself. Because just like you,
and do it, and do it, Eric, do it from when you just started. I mean, because when you start thinking about the life journeys that you had, because every one of us has a book in us, right? So when you start looking at chapter one of how you were and some of the defining moments where your character was defined, and you start writing names down, pretty soon you're going to look at that and you're going to be like, my gosh, what a blessed life have I had, right? And yeah. You know, you're so thankful. It really, it humbles you, and it just grounds you like nothing you can imagine.
That is a huge takeaway for me. That's a huge takeaway. I just want to thank you for that. I genuinely want to thank you for that. That's a very big aha for me.
And hey, this was a great interview, buddy. You know, I'm happy to come back on your show anytime. This was, you had good questions, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I really did, Peter. I think, you know, I really want to start doing a little bit, maybe even longer ones, so we can like really go and dive in deep. So I think that's going to be something. I feel like I can talk to you for hours. So
yeah, no worries. And we'll do it on my Facebook. So that way we'll get, I don't know if we can merge Facebook followers. Are we able to do that? I don't know. I'm so inept at social media, but
you know, it'll be, Yeah, I think so. It'll be exciting to extend on that. I'm really excited to work with that. But nonetheless, I'm going to really, really get excited about what we can do moving forward. And it'll be so much amazing to have it. But it was amazing to have you on the show. And we'll definitely reconnect, brother. All the best.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now. As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Valens signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.